And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with them. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him off to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I love this story of the Jesus at the Samaritan well, because it reminds me in such a clear and simple way that throughout all of Christ's ministry, his ministry was simply people. Whoever you are, wherever you are, however you looked, Jesus cared for you. We see that in Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, the woman who none else would speak to. It seems a simple lesson. It seems an obvious lesson that Jesus throughout his ministry was trying to teach his disciples. Jesus told them, his disciples, that he was not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus reminded his disciples that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Jesus again reminded his disciples, Disciples, I want you to know the reason I have come is to seek and to save them which are lost. Disciples, I want you to get the idea. The reason we're here is for people. A simple thought. And yet, the disciples, as Jesus is closing his earthly ministry and he sets his face toward Jerusalem, Jesus is in Samaria, so somewhere in this region, when they reject him, Luke 9:54 says, And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And so we see that no matter how often Jesus tells us and in his words reminds us of his great abounding love, we must always come back to the place where we long to have not only our love for the lost, but his love for the lost. And so we come to our text, John chapter 4 and verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? So they're coming back from the Samaritan city. They come to Jesus. Of course, they're all a little too spiritual to ask this question. It's a question they wouldn't quite vocalize. But it's very simply, Lord, why would you speak with her? Lord, don't you know who she is? Don't you know why she's out in the heat of the day? Nobody would speak to her. She's a Samaritan. We're Jews. Why would you speak to her? And Jesus answers the question that they will not ask. In verse 32, Jesus says, But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Verse 34, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus answers their question very simply. The reason I must speak to this woman, the reason we must care for lost souls is very simply, it is the will of God. And can I challenge you tonight that I wish I could show you town after town in Ireland where there is no gospel witness. And no doubt all of us as missionaries, we could show you city after city where a missionary needs to go. But simply seeing the need is not what will cause us, though it will challenge our hearts. Simply seeing the need is not what will cause us to be engaged in missions as we ought to. It is seeing rather the command and the call of God. William Booth said, Not called, did you say? not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and bid him and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body in the circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. Why is it important that we go to the command of God as our reason for missions? It is this. It is because so much more than you and I desire the salvation of the lost. No doubt we would all say, I desire that every person be saved. God says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We desire the salvation of the lost, but so much more than we desire the salvation of the lost, God desires the salvation of the lost. And so when my love will not move me to pass out the gospel tract, when my love will not move me to consider, to at least consider, Lord, would you have me to go? Lord, would you have me to leave my homeland so that others would hear the good news of the gospel? When my love and my comfortability will not cause me to enter the gospel ministry, let us understand the command of God must go, must cause us to go. Notice firstly, it was a specific work. Jesus said in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the harvest, Almighty God, the Creator, was not so much concerned about all of the harvest work, but Jesus says, the reason I'm here at the well today is because I'm concerned about the work that God's given me to do. It was a specific work. It was a measurable work. Jesus says, and to finish his work. And no doubt we come to Mission Conference and we've been engaged in the work of missions and giving to missions and supporting missions. And the question that probes my heart is not, am I engaged in missions, but am I doing all that God has given me to do? Am I finishing his work? It was also, firstly, it was a specific work. What is the work that God has given me to do? How would God have me to be involved in missions? It was a sacred work. Jesus said in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so what caused Jesus to be at the well, what caused him to care for souls, what caused him to actually be moved to speak to the woman was to understand that the most important accomplishment of my life is not necessarily meeting the appraisal of the culture around me, but rather it is to do the will of God. It is to do his work. And what will cause us to do what we ought to do in the work of missions is to put a priority on the work of God. And it is to understand the greatest accomplishment of our lives is not measured in what people see around us. No, the great accomplishment of my life, the great goal of Christ's life was the work that God had given him to do. It was a sacred work. It was God's work. And thirdly, it was a satisfying work. Verse 34 again. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus, of course, is speaking to 12 hungry men and he's speaking to disciples. And of course, a great way to speak to men and speak their language is to speak food. And I love what he tells them. So the disciples, they come back to Jesus and they're wondering, Lord, why would you sacrifice? Why would you stay in the heat of the day? Why would you give up
what you were deserved to care for the souls of the lost. And Jesus turns it around and he says, disciples, I want you to know that while it wasn't comfortable and while it wasn't necessarily what I felt like doing, the work of missions and the work of God, it doesn't drain me. Rather, it sustains me. I find the more I give to gospel work, whether it is here in my Jerusalem or it is in the uttermost parts of the earth, I find the more I give and the more I serve, the more I want to give and the more I want to serve. Why? Because as I look back on my life, I've discovered there is no greater joy than to be humbly used of God to change a life for eternity. And I want you to know, disciples, is there a cost to ministry? Yes. Is there a sacrifice to ministry? Yes. Is there a point in ministry if we are going to make a difference for eternity when the world will look at us and they'll ask, why would you give up that? Yes. But I want you to know, disciples, that the greatest joy you'll ever have is being used of God to do His will for your life to make a difference for eternity. Disciples, have you found that joy? Have you found that joy when others would look at your life and they'll say, it's a waste, but you would respond in the very same breath and you would say, no, I love it. And if I had 100 lives to live again, I would give my life sacrificing so that others would know the good news of the gospel. Because Jesus says in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Because if we'll just go, and if we'll just find our part in missions, there is an abundance of harvest that God is wanting to bring, and He wants to use you. So my challenge to you tonight, and my challenge to myself tonight, we must see the needs of the world around us, but then we must understand, and I would challenge you to ask the question, what is God calling me to do? I believe God is not calling all to the mission field, but I love what this sign says, we all must be willing. What is your part? What is your part? And I guarantee you the greatest joy in heaven will be that you found your part, the part God gave you in His harvest.